Welcome to another episode of the Replant Bootcamp, the podcast for church renewal leaders where we listen, learn, and laugh together with boots on the ground church leaders. I'm your host, Jimbo Stewart. This podcast is sponsored by Church QuickSight by 180 Digital. Getting a website that your visitors and members will love doesn't have to be hard. Learn more at churchquicksight.com. Here we are back at the boot camp, back at it again. Hope you're ready for the next episode. I'm excited to dive into the next couple episodes with a good friend of mine from up in North Carolina, Ben McCroy, and gotten to be a part of seeing him study and learn in his doctoral work on emotional intelligence. So first, Ben, man, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, thanks, Jimbo, for having me. I love listening to this podcast, so it's a thrill to be a part of it. My name is Ben. My wife's name is Shelby. She and I have been married for 21 years. We have two kids, Riley and Nathaniel. They are 15 and 13. So we spend a great deal of our time trying to convince them that they don't know everything, but yeah, it's a lot of fun most of the times. I grew up as a son of a pastor. My dad pastored a church for most of my life, and so I got to see the work of replanting and the work of revitalization as I was growing up. He wouldn't have called it replanting. He probably would have just referred to it as pastoring, but that's exactly what he was doing as I look back on that. Moved to Wake Forest, North Carolina from the Kansas City, Missouri area right after my wife and I got married so that we could go to Southeastern Seminary. Began studying there, thought I might be heading to the mission field. And then while I was in school, God gave me a real heart for the local church and seeing the local church be healthy, seeing the local church involved in the mission of God. And so been serving as a mobilization pastor here at Faith Baptist Church in Youngsville, North Carolina now for about 17 years. And we're just trying to help start new churches and strengthen existing churches as much as possible. And so a lot of my job falls in that area. And so I love it. It's just a thrill to see. And yeah, so that's kind of me in a nutshell.
That's awesome. And so the reason I wanted you on the podcast today, you've done some doctoral research on the role of emotional intelligence in pastoral effectiveness, especially in church renewal. What made you want to look into that particular characteristic or competency?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I when I started my doctoral work, it's a doctorate of education. So we're learning a lot of education terms and phrases and kind of looking at how people learn and all those things. And I was first introduced to the concept of emotional intelligence in one of my first seminars, just about how do different people learn and process information. And it was pretty fascinating to me, honestly, or at least in part. My daughter is, I would say, very emotionally intelligent. She struggles in school and other areas, but she's a people person, relates to people, shows great empathy. And so it just really encouraged me in that. And then as I started looking into church renewal, one of the things that I was really hoping to write on was kind of pastoral longevity. How do pastors stay a long time? I've just been convinced that the healthiest churches are the churches that have pastors for a long time. And so I was heading down that road and I read a book called Resilient Ministry. It's written by three different authors, Chapman, Guthrie, and Burns, I think are the names of the authors. And they had two chapters about emotional intelligence in there. And they were essentially arguing that pastors with greater emotional intelligence last longer in the churches and they're able to lead more effectively. And so that really took me down a path in that way. And so then I just started saying, okay, how can we demonstrate the importance of emotional intelligence to pastoral ministry? And so that's ultimately where I landed. Surveyed pastors in three different states, and I gave them a church health survey and an emotional intelligence assessment, and then kind of compared the results of those using statistics and things. And
so how would you define emotional intelligence? Because I know when I did my research and we came up with the 13 characteristics of effective revitalizers and replanters, emotional intelligence is one of those 13. And yeah, it definitely had some correlation to the effectiveness. And so, you know, we have kind of like the somewhat clinical definition that we've used in a lot of that of emotional intelligence is the capacity to be aware of, control, and express one's own emotions, to handle interpersonal relationships judiciously and empathetically. But when I travel and I get to speak about the characteristics in general, when I get to that one, I will often say, but for the believer, there seems to also be this aspect of walking in the Spirit and bearing the fruit of the Spirit in your interpersonal relationships. And so that you can handle just about any situation that comes to you because you're walking in the Spirit and you can operate within the fruit of the Spirit. So there's a spiritual maturity piece to it.
Yeah.
At least that's the way I see it. So is that what you found in some of your research as you tried to correlate this to pastoral leadership?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jimbo. I mean, the definition that I typically use of emotional intelligence is it's the ability to rightly perceive and manage your emotions, as well as perceive and appropriately respond to the emotions of others.
Mm.
You know, it's just hard for me to say the word judiciously like you did, so I tried to shorten that as much as possible. But so I think that's just the kind of the working general definition that most people dealing with any type of emotional intelligence research would use, something along those lines, that you're able to rightly perceive and manage your own emotions, and you're able to rightly perceive and appropriately respond to the emotions of others. But you're absolutely correct, man. Like, as one of the things that I loved, probably my favorite part of my dissertation, was diving into the Bible and really trying to answer the question, hey, is this a biblical concept, or is it, you know, just modern psychology? What's fascinating is, while the Bible doesn't use the words emotional intelligence, all of the characteristics are just over and over again shown. And that we ultimately see the great example in Jesus, right? And so to grow in Christ's likeness is to grow in emotional intelligence in a sense as well.
Yeah, I was reading an article recently by Mark Halleck from like 2015 on this for the NAM website. And he pointed to Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And then Halleck goes on to say in the article, at the end of the day, the leadership skills rooted in developing greater emotional intelligence can serve as a roadmap to be more compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, and patient. And these are key character qualities for effectiveness in replanting ministry and leadership. Much of the wisdom found in the developing EQ serves as a guide to understand our emotions and their root cause in order that we can be quick to forgive, strive for unity, and ultimately be more loving, which is, like you said, to be more like Christ.
Yeah, no, that's a great citation of that Colossians passage there. And I've become convinced as I've really dove into this topic that to become like Christ, right, we're putting on the new self. We are growing in these areas. I mean, think also about the fruit of the Spirit, right? That the Lord produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of those relate to emotional intelligence, how we understand our emotions and how we understand the emotions of others. And I think of Proverbs, you know, that there's this real sense that I think there's a, in that article you mentioned, actually, there's a chart that kind of equates biblical wisdom with emotional intelligence. And man, it's so true. Like, what the Proverbs has to say about walking in wisdom is really addressing some of these concepts. And so we need to grow in biblical wisdom, which means we will grow in the way that we relate to others and understand what they're feeling and those things.
So why is this an important conversation for specifically church renewal? So revitalization, replanting, or even the other side of that question is like, what stood out to you in your theological review, your literature review, that specifically applies really well to pastoral leadership in general, but maybe more specifically to church revitalization or replanting?
Sure. So let me start by answering the second part of that question as far as what stood out to me in my research and review. There's all kinds of different models and understandings of what emotional intelligence is. It's kind of become a buzzword. So there's just a lot of different conversations about it. And people mean everything from the more clinical definition to more, you know, hey, they just have good people skills. And so one of the things that was really helpful for me was there's a group of Australian scholars, psychologists, I think, that they tried to create a unified understanding based on all the different types of models and all the different things. And they came up with 7 factors of emotional intelligence that I think are really helpful. And really then as you apply it to the work of pastoral ministry, but specifically replanting, I think it helps frame the conversation. So let me share those 7 things real quick. The first one is emotional self-awareness. That's just the ability to understand your own, what's going on in your heart, right? And out of that, what flows out of that? Obviously, there's all kinds of biblical implications there for that. Second one is what they call emotional expression. This is my favorite one. This is expressing emotions in the right way at the right time to the right people. Mm-hmm. We have all failed in that way at some point, right? I've been mad at work and come home and express my emotions to my wife in a way that she's not the right person to receive that, right? Or vice versa. And so, so emotional expression. Then they talk about the awareness of others, the emotional awareness of others. Which is essentially understanding, perceiving and understanding the emotions of others. This is verbal, nonverbal expressions. Empathy is deeply connected to this concept here, right? Mm-hmm. The fourth one is emotional reasoning, which is the ability to use emotional information in decision-making. So I always give the example of, you know, my family's going out to eat when my kids were younger, like everybody had an opinion and I knew that there was going to be an emotional fallout if I chose the other way.
Yeah.
But everybody loved Chick-fil-A. So we ate at Chick-fil-A a lot. And I would often make that because of the emotional information beforehand.
Yeah.
And then there's 3 more: emotional self-management, which is managing your own emotions. It includes the adjusting to negative emotional states, as well as the ability to maintain positive emotions. So this is controlling one's emotions rather than being controlled by them. Mm. Toddlers and teenagers have a hard time with this, right? And so,
and some church members.
Yeah. And pastors too, right? And so yes. Guilty as charged. So, and then there's the emotional management of others, which sounds like you're trying to manipulate their emotions. That's not the case at all. You're trying to positively influence the emotions of others. You know, so this is motivation, you know, creating positive environments. This could be the work of peacemaking. It's really related to how treating people how you would want to be treated, right? And then lastly is one called emotional self-control. And that sounds redundant from the self-management side of things, but really it is effectively controlling your own strong emotions and the ability to maintain focus on the task at hand. So one of them is proactive, you know, kind of self-management is proactive. Self-control is reactive to really heavy emotional situations. So all those 7 things then help us understand what is emotional intelligence. And then now you can say, how do these things impact pastoral ministry? And there's significant ways, I think. So,
yeah, I mean, as you go through that, I think about, and this is one of the things I liked about our list of 13 characteristics is there's really a lot of overlap. And I think that's a good thing. You know, it's because none of these are completely isolated from the rest. And as you list out these, I go, man, I mean, these are part of what allow us to handle conflict well. This is part of what allows us to shepherd people through hard times well. And when I say handle conflict well, I always think about emotional intelligence, partially in the intentional managing of conflict, but also in the moment reactionary, somebody blows up in your face.
Yeah.
That's the part where like you really like, cause I feel like most pastors can probably like pregame, you know, they can fast, they can pray, they can make sure they're walking in the Spirit when they know they're walking into a conflict resolution mediation meeting or something like that. that's not usually where it's going to go super bad.
Yep.
Where it's usually going to go super bad is when, you know, 5 minutes before your sermon and somebody comes and just like, just waylays you. And, you know, you don't have time to be prepared. You don't have time to make sure your mind and your heart is right. And so this is why we have to always be walking in the Spirit and always be strong in our emotional intelligence. And I mean, I see this also in like leading change.
Yeah.
You know, I think this has got to be super relevant to how we lead change, because so often, you know, we lead change because we think it's the change that needs to be done, but we fail to calculate in the emotions of others. Like that your drive to Chick-fil-A with your family is like the microcosm of that moment in a church where, you know, we have change we need to lead, but we've got to factor in what that response is going to be by everybody else.
Yeah. Well, that's such a great point, Jimbo. And I think it's so true. The one of the things, and I actually heard from you, I think on this podcast, was you did an episode on the emotional cycle of change, where there's, you know, there's this kind of these patterns that people walk through or an organization walks through. And if the pastor doesn't have emotional intelligence to understand what the people are feeling as he's trying to leave change, that valley of despair of the emotional cycle of change can become really, really hard, you know, really, really difficult, and can cause a lot of conflict. And somebody, either the pastor or the church's members, are probably going to hit eject on that, right, at that point. Mm-hmm. So, man, it also helps navigate church politics, like just the awareness of knowing, hey, who is carrying a lot of weight here, you know, who is carrying a lot of just prestige and recognition, who is able to lead, who are the unnamed leaders that I need to be investing in, because they're going to be in as well. Right.
That would out of our 13 characteristics, then this is again, how these all tie together is what we call organizational awareness.
Right.
And it's understanding those dynamics. But that's where I think they cross over, because I don't think you can have strong organizational awareness if you don't have strong emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
Like it's foundational to being able to navigate that type of stuff. And I'm curious your thoughts on it. It seems in my observation, you know, I'm a nerd about personality profiles and all those kinds of things. And it seems people that are like real high, like on a, let's say DISC, let's just pick one on DISC, the high D, the dominant.
Right.
So on that matrix, if the listener is not familiar with that, the XY axis of that particular personality profile is whether you are people oriented or task oriented is one. And then the other axis is, are you reactive or proactive? And so the D is proactive, task oriented. So what I have observed is sometimes when a high D in particular is really in task mode, or even a high C, which is task oriented and reactive. So when we get, for any of us, when we get real task oriented, and as we're leading change as pastors, I think one of the mistakes we make is we have spent hours analyzing and considering this change we are about to institute. We've spent weeks, we've read books, we've read articles, we've consulted mentors, we've looked at what other churches are doing that's working, and we've put a lot of data and information usually into that decision-making, or we're just really good intuitive people and we know this is the right move, but the church has not been along for that ride. And so it's brand new when we bring it to them. And I have observed, it seems when we get, and myself included, when I get real task oriented, I don't want to calculate your emotions into that moment. Like, cause I want to go after that task.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what are your thoughts on the way personality profiles play into how emotional intelligence is fleshed out?
Man, I think that's a pretty astute observation, as far as, you know, that when we become focused on the change itself, you know, and we become task driven and forget the people that are involved, it typically doesn't go well, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, back to the example of, you know, hey, where's my family eating out? Like, if I just say, hey, we're going here, I don't care what anybody says, like, that is not going to be a happy lunch, right? You know, because
yeah.
because I'm trying to check something off the list. So as far as personality styles go, you know, the more empathetic that somebody can be, the better. Now here's the great thing about emotional intelligence, though, is all scholars agree is that it's not fixed, but you can grow in these areas, and you can adapt how that works. And Jimbo, just to, as you were talking a minute ago, you know, about, hey, I become task oriented and trying to lead a change and I forget about the people. What this research has helped me realize is that there's always usually an emotional reason behind why somebody's being resistant to change. Mm-hmm. So for example, you know, hey, why are we getting rid of, you know, the plaque of the Ten Commandments hanging in the worship center or whatever? Usually the animosity that might be coming from that is not because, you know, they're really married to that idea of that plaque, but it's maybe because somebody they love gave it to the church.
Yeah.
Or, you know, why are we getting rid of, you know, the flower room and the decorations and all those things? It's not that they're necessarily resistant to the idea of using that space for something else, but those items, those decorations bring back memories and nostalgia. You know, you see this all the time in programs and churches getting rid of a program, and you'll have resistance there. And oftentimes the resistance is because this is where either I came to the Lord or my grandchild came to the Lord, and they're just afraid that none of that ministry is going to be happening now. And so an emotionally intelligent pastor has to be able to say, hey, this is the reason for the change. This is where we're going, and there's going to be new fruit from these changes as well.
Yeah, honestly, from my observation, so this is anecdotal, observational data for you of, you know, I talk to a lot of guys, and for whatever reason, I end up talking to a lot of guys like right after or right before they get fired. and I would, from my anecdotal observations, the number one reason guys get fired is low emotional intelligence.
Yep.
It's not that they can't preach, or that they don't know theology, or that they don't, you know, visit people enough, or, you know, anything. It's not the things that seminary trained them to do that they were ineffective in those things. It's that they lacked emotional intelligence. Then the other side of that, so that's the fired side of this equation, the I can't get hired side. Mm-hmm. I also have those conversations a lot. Of someone says, I feel like God's called me to pastoral ministry, but I can't seem to get a church to hire me. And as I interact with that person, part of what I realize is they lack social skills, they lack self-awareness, they're not, you know, it's awkward to converse with them. And so I'm realizing you're not interviewing well. Like when you're going to these churches and you're interviewing, they're experiencing your lack of social skills, your lack of emotional intelligence, and that's why they're not hiring you. But I don't know how to say that to somebody in a nice way other than, hey, go listen to this episode and particularly the end of it. I'm just going to give them your information and let you tell them.
Thank you for that.
I mean, it seems like I think it's a really important topic for pastors, because it seems to go bad on the front end, the middle, and the back end if you don't pay attention to this.
Yeah, I think you're right, Jimbo. And it is a hard, you know, it can be a hard conversation to have, you know, to say, hey, have you considered this? I think I work with a lot of seminary students. You know, we're 5 minutes from Southeastern Seminary. And so I talk to guys all the time about, you know, wanting to get hired into ministry and those type of things. And I usually encourage them in a couple of ways. You know, one, continue to grow in your understanding theologically, all those things, like that needs to happen. But one of the best ways for you to grow in emotional intelligence and ministry skills is to be involved in the local church ministering and serving, and then pursue feedback on that. So, you know, ask a pastor, ask another Sunday school teacher, ask somebody, hey, do you see something in my life that is hindering effective ministry from happening? Yeah. You know, God uses the church to expose those things so that we can grow in Christlikeness, and so that we are more aware of, hey, the fruit of the Spirit that I need to grow in more, you know, is love and patience or kindness, you know. And so I encourage people to be faithful where they are, through serving, through ministering, but then to really find some trusted friends and people that are willing to say some hard things to you, and just pursue feedback and ask questions about how that might change. And so,
tell you what, let's dive into that a little more the next episode. Okay. As we come to an end of this one, Ben, how can our listeners be praying for you and your family and your ministry?
I appreciate that, Jimbo. So I kind of joked about it earlier, but I mean, we do have a 15-year-old daughter and a 13-year-old son, and we love it. We love parenting them, but I would just appreciate the prayers that, you know, that I'm pastoring and leading them well, you know, and that they would grow to follow Christ, and that their faith would be their own and not mine and my wife's. So that would probably be the biggest prayer request, just personally. And then, you know, ministerially as a church, you know, our church is really involved in trying to both plant churches, but also replant churches. And so we're just praying that we steward those opportunities well, and that we, because it could be very easy to just say, hey, we know the answers, you know, but to, again, walk in emotional intelligence and try to help encourage churches grow and help that way.
And then will you pray for those that are listening and just ask them to, you know, ask the Lord to help them grow in this?
Absolutely. Thank you. I will. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to join Jimbo today and talk about this topic of emotional intelligence. God, thankful that that you have prescribed these behaviors and things in your word, and that this is not a new concept, but it really is an opportunity to grow in Christlikeness. And so, Lord, I pray for the listeners of this podcast. I pray that it would be helpful to them. And I pray that as they seek to grow in these areas, they would pursue your son, and that they would pursue biblical wisdom, and that they would put on the new clothes, and that they would be more effective as pastors and leaders as a result of it. Not for their name's sake, but for your name's sake. And we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Replant Bootcamp podcast, where listening to the field will lead you to the future. The Replant Bootcamp podcast is brought to you by Church QuickSight by 180 Digital. With Church QuickSight, you'll get a beautiful, customized website with all the features you need to help your church grow, a helpful project manager to make sure everything is just how you want it, and the legendary 180 Digital hosting and support to keep things running great. 180 Digital is a team of design, development, and marketing experts who know and love the local church. So go to churchquicksite.com to learn more and get started.